You ever thought about what the Lord requires of you, what the Lord requires of me? Anybody ever thought of that? Nobody? Okay, well, then this sermon's for me, because I've thought about it. I thought, what is it that the Lord requires? Because I hear in society all the time, God is love. And God is love, and the greatest commandment is to love God first and then to love others. So love is the answer. In fact, there's some books out there in the Christian market that says love wins. In other words, a loving God is never going to judge you. It's never going to hold you accountable. A loving God is going to say, hey, I love you. Come on in. Love always wins. And as I look through the gospel, as I look through his scriptures, that's not the answer. Oh, sure, there are a lot of scriptures about love, and Jesus talked about love, but there were some hard things that Jesus also said. And so I started to think, what does God require? We had the opportunity this past week to spend some time in reflection on, is fruit growing in our lives? You know, I grew up singing the song, they will know we are Christians by our love, right? Love is going to win, right? But the Bible says that it's the fruit that is born in our lives. And we don't have anything to do with that. That's the Holy Spirit doing his work in our lives that makes the fruit be born in our lives. And so I have something to confess to you today. Sometimes the way I live my life, it often shows others that sometimes I view the teaching of Jesus as maybe sometimes just good suggestions rather than authoritative mandates. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think if we were to just pause for a moment and be honest, and we look at what Jesus says and how we should live our lives and what the world would think of us if we lived our lives as he tells us to live our lives, then we would be at odds with what's going on in our society. But if he's only an idea, then he has no authority over me. In other words, if he says, love others, treat others the way you want to be treated, that's more of a good suggestion instead of a mandate. Well, we are about 2 weeks beyond one of the biggest events in the life of, I guess, our world, right? You're thinking of Easter, right? I'm thinking of the Avengers Endgame. And I started thinking about the Avengers Endgame because I grew up in a time where I loved superheroes. How many of you love superheroes? Okay. What do we love about superheroes? Well, first off, within an hour, it used to be 30 minutes in their cartoons and stuff, but there'd be this horrible problem, and then the world was saved because of what they did. I think of some of the heroes that are out there. The one that most people think of right away is Superman. Okay? Superman. I'm a big fan of Superman. He was known to stand for what? Truth, justice, and the American way. Now, we can argue, some people would argue that maybe the American way today isn't as popular as it was. I mean, if you go on Facebook, if you go in the news, if you do whatever, the American way is under attack. But we all can say that truth and justice are high moral things. And we say, like, Superman, you go. In fact, you go so much that if you see somebody that has a Superman tattoo, we think, man, that's good. Wonder Woman, she had that lasso. It was the lasso of what? Truth. You had to tell the truth. And we're like, you go, girl, you go. You know, you get the little rodeo on, tell the truth. And I've seen Wonder Woman license plates. And we think, oh, yeah, I like Wonder Woman. I mean, on Sanders Miata, Wonder Woman. But I think it's because she's like the Wonder Woman, I guess. I don't know. Spider-Man. What do you know about Spider-Man? He's our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Did you know Peter Parker said this? He goes, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Now, I think he stole that line from somewhere. But here's the thing. Here's this teenage boy, acne, probably acne on his back, you know, the gross acne. Teenager, ambitious, always trying to get in trouble. I mean, not trying to get in trouble. It just seems to follow him around. But yet, he says, with great power comes great responsibility. Here's the thing. We like superheroes, but you don't have to follow them. they actually serve us. In other words, they keep me safe. They provide for me. I mean, Superman is flying around with his super hearing and everything else to just basically save me. Our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, he is there to get rid of all of the bad things to make us feel better and to feel safe. So I think about Jesus sometimes. I think sometimes we are guilty of treating Jesus just as a superhero. And we focus on what the scripture says about the good things. For example, in Mark chapter 12, Jesus says this. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And we say, yes, Jesus, that's awesome. And we get the Jesus tattoo, but do we really love God with everything that's in us? Or do we treat it as just a good suggestion because God works for us? He wants to take care of me. He wants to bless me. He wants to give me that car. He wants to give me that house. He wants to give me that job. He's there for me. But if we love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, then we love him with everything that's in us. And do you really love your neighbor as yourself? How many of you even know your neighbor? We all have that person right around from us. It's the crazy cat lady, right? You know who I'm talking about? I can say that because Sylvia's not here today. But the crazy cat lady or the guy that gets up at the crack of dawn on Saturday morning and starts cutting grass. Or it just happened to be Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning when you go out on the back porch to drink that first cup of coffee and they're cutting down trees in the house next door. And you hear the whoosh, whoosh, zzz all day. Or the guy that doesn't pay any attention to the fire ban and burns leaves in his yard all year long. You know who I'm talking about. And those Christmas lights that look so good in your house in December, now you just call them ornaments in July. Another thing, John says this in the scriptures, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. Here we go. God is love. And if you don't love, then you don't know God. Paul says this in Corinthians. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I have what? Nothing. Love wins. And people will build a whole philosophy on that. Paul in Romans says this, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, but cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Love, love, love. He says this later on in Romans, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The Proverbs tells us this, a friend loves how much? At all times. Again, Paul in Romans says, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So love, all the good things. Jesus, thanks for giving us those good things. But I thought about this about the superheroes. When is the last time you saw Superman ask somebody to deny themselves and follow him? That's what Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 16. When did Spider-Man ever go up to somebody on the street and say, you know what? You could really do great if you just sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. Like Jesus asked us to do in Matthew 19. While these characters have traits that are admired and sometimes they should be emulated, I mean, we should seek for truth and justice, but they don't really ask anything of us. There's no responsibility on our part, and even if they did, what would be the consequences for ignoring them? If you don't you know, seek after truth or justice? Is Superman going to pierce you with his laser eyes? No. They're just ideas. They have no real authority because they are not real. But Jesus is not just a character in a story, y'all. From page one to the very end of the book, he is real. Jesus is God, and he is the authority over our lives, and he is real. Our faith is in a person of Jesus. And this is what it says in Colossians. He is the head of all rule and authority. And that person, that Jesus, asked us, "Who do you say that I am?" Am I just a superhero that's saving you from the eternal fires of hell? Am I like a good moral teacher that you listen to some of the things that I say and you say, you know what, I'm going to incorporate loving others here. But then I'm going to take that to a full stream and blow off all the rest of what you say is holy. Too often today our culture views Jesus as just another voice of take it or leave it philosophy. He has a lot of great ideas. And if you want to try to follow his lead, guess what, more power to you, you know. But to many, he's no different than the members of the Justice League. Do unto others is a nice suggestion, a golden rule, but it's as disposable in our modern world as any of the other things. Jesus is a living, breathing person that demands every part of our lives. And we must remember that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Dylan LeBeau is a youth pastor, and he said this: if we claim to follow Jesus, we must be willing to give up what he asked us to give up and to pursue what he asked us to pursue. He is our living Lord, and that good news should cause us to rejoice and to fully submit to his lordship. So what does the Lord require of you? Is it just love? If it is, we could just give it, you know, like everybody stand up, hug somebody, and then go. You know? Say something nice to your neighbor. Just knock on the door. It's not all about love. Listen to what it says here. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. You look at our culture today, this is what Jesus says. Look at what's going on in our culture. And there are a lot of churches, and using church is taking a lot of license, because when I read their philosophy, when I read their so-called theology, it has nothing to do with what Jesus said. What they're trying to do is blend into the culture so much that the culture won't hate them, that the culture will embrace them. But Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you and mock you and persecute you and say false things about you because of him. It ain't an easy road. Well, what else did Jesus say? What does the Lord require? Here's what he says. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. But yet we do. We try to balance it. God, you give me these blessings. Man, if you just give me a little bit more, then I'll be able to make it. I'm more. Who are you worshiping? You're worshiping the almighty dollar. Instead of putting your faith in the one who gives us everything. What about, this is another one. Whew. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. How many of us live in worry? There are some of us, we thrive on worry. If there's nothing going on in your life that's bad, you worry about that. I know something's about to happen. What about this? You want to know how much Jesus talks about sin? Listen to this. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into the eternal fire. That's how much Jesus hated sin. He says, like, you know, you see something you're not supposed to see, pluck that eye out. You want to do something that you shouldn't do, cut that hand off. You want to go somewhere you shouldn't go, cut that foot off. because it's better for you to be holy than it is for you to be whole and thrown in the eternal fire. That's how much he despises sin. This one, Matthew, whew, listen to this one. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. Remember how we sing, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Listen to this. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth. This is Jesus. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be those of his own household. In other words, I've come to split. You're either with me or you're not. There is no kind of gray area where I'm with you some of the time, but I'm with them some of the time. You can't do that dance. This is what the Lord requires of us. And I think it's best summed up in the Old Testament, Micah, the prophet. He says this in verse 8, chapter 6. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God? And that last line we have to all work on. Because there's a lot in society, they say, oh, justice. Well, I'm standing up for these people that don't have a voice. I'm standing up for these women to make this choice. I'm standing up for these people that can't decide if they want to be man or a woman, so I'm just going to stand up for them. I'm for justice. All right, I'll give you justice there. But to love kindness? You're not kind to the people in debates and stuff, throwing stuff and doing whatever. But listen to that, walk humbly with God. You have put yourself in God's place. Well, if I were God, this is how I would treat these people. But that's not what God says how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to live. Do you love God so much that you're willing to be at odds with society, with culture, with your families? Because Jesus didn't come to bring peace, he came to bring a sword. And you're either with him or you're with the world. Jesus or the world? Now, I'm not a betting man. I've been to a casino like a couple times, like when my dad wanted to go one time and my brother wanted to go. I'm the guy that if I go to a casino, I walk up to the first table, give the guy $20, and I say thank you, and I walk out. Because there's no use in me playing that. I get excited when the Powerball gets up to like 400 something million. And I think like maybe one day I'll win that. But first you got to play it, Paul, and I don't even buy a ticket. So if I do win it, it's going to be a miracle from God, you know. So I'm not really a betting man, but I would bet you $1 million if you had to choose between Jesus and the world, that choosing Jesus is the right answer. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, requires in us a change of heart and a change of lifestyle. You cannot live how you think the world should be. You have got to live by his authoritative mandates. To say that the Bible is good, but we're going to mix it up with this and we're going to bring in this because all of it's good. That's not the way it works. God requires us to be faithful stewards of the resources that we are entrusted with. That includes our money, our possessions, our homes, our families, our world. God wants our hearts, he wants our lives, and despite all of the good things you do, all of the good things you say, despite all of that, any offering that falls short of what he demands, our entire life, a total heart change, falls simply insufficiently short. And that's what Micah is talking about in his scriptures. Micah, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, they give you a glimpse of what God requires. They're speaking to Israel and to Judah, and they're saying, this is what's going on. Amos, for example, he professed that God desires justice rather than sacrifices. In other words, don't just keep sacrificing stuff. I want justice. And so at the end of time, there will be justice. You will stand before a holy and righteous God. Justice. Hosea, his story depicts what it means to love compassionately with mercy. God asked him to do some things that I don't know if I could do. And yet he does it because he is walking humbly with his God. Isaiah, in his scripture, he stresses faithfulness and obedience to God. What does the Lord require? Micah says that we do justice, we love kindness, and we walk humbly with God. Dominique Gilliard, who is a pastor, wrote this: in our society and culture today, which is predicated upon comfort and the avoidance of suffering at all costs, we must raise up countercultural disciples that are willing and able to bear their crosses, individuals who will intentionally choose discomfort and suffering for the sake of the kingdom over worldly ideas and changing truths, get that, changing truths and standards. How many times have we heard, okay, well, the Bible was written for this group of people back then, but things have changed. If God were writing the Bible today, he would say, hey, do whatever you want. Grace wins. I don't think so. Jo said today when she was reading the scriptures that this is the same God yesterday, today, tomorrow. His truths, yesterday, today, tomorrow. Not yesterday, then it kind of changed a little bit, and then tomorrow it's really going to change. We've got to come into the new world. That's not the God we serve. Micah is imploring to the Israelites, and this message is for us today to understand that we have got to be willing to live lives that are radically different than what the world lives. And that means you are going to be persecuted. You are going to be mocked. There was a time when the church was kind of raised up and people were like, "Woo, you could be safe in a church." No more. You tell somebody you are a Christ follower and you're stupid, you're ignorant, you judge others. It's like the most loving people I know are church people. The church is to serve as God's witness in this world today, but we can't do that if we are more loyal to what culture demands of us, to the norms and laws of our nation that have turned completely upside down the mandates of a holy and righteous God. Where do you stand? Is Jesus just a superhero that you watch for an hour and a half and then turn him off and say, that's nice? Or is he the Lord and the Master and the Savior of your life? Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. The food pantries, the backpack ministries, the reaching out to people that need us, you know, the people that are in trouble and say, would you pray for me? Will you pray for me? And yeah, when you're in trouble, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you when you are not in trouble. But Jesus also said they will know us by the fruit we bear. Do you love God more than you love the world? In John, 1 John, we think of John as the love chapter. 1 John, you know, chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. There's a lot of in there. But listen in chapter 2. This is what John says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. How many of us are guilty of that? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. Are you putting your faith and your hope in the world? Are you putting your faith and hope in a Savior that loves us so much that he gave his life for us? Father, thank you for today. Father, forgive us of the times that we think of Jesus as our homeboy, as our as a superhero, and not as the Lord and Savior, our Creator.
Father, I pray for our church, again, that there would be a huge awakening in us, that we would be a church that would be willing to love others so much that we would love them into the kingdom, that we would love them so much that we would confront the sin in their lives and in our lives, that we would love people so much, Father, that we would want to see them completely dedicate their lives to you. And not just this lukewarm religiosity that we have in the world today. Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us passion. And Father, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.